it hot? I don't know if it's hot where you are, but man, is it hot here. Hey, it's Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. Welcome. Thank you for downloading my show. It is a hot one today. It's Sunday, July 23rd is when I'm recording this up here in Seattle, and the temperatures have been record-breaking up here, at least for the Seattle area. But I want to thank you for downloading the show. As I said, this is show number 184. Sunday, July 23rd is when I'm recording this. Not sure when you're listening to this. I've noticed in my logs as I look up on the blog that people go back for, you know, weeks and weeks and listen to them. Like, there's some people just listening to a few shows from just a couple months ago. So that's why I always want to put a little timestamp on them here, so you know when I'm recording it, and kind of give you a frame of reference for when the information that I'm talking about happened. So thank you. Let's see. Let's jump into the show. Great feedback on last week's show, the HD DVD show. I was worried that it was going to be a little too fanboyish, and a lot of people, you know, called me on that because it was Microsoft biased. But I have always said, and I will say it again, I posted this on the blog, I am happy to have a Sony rep, or in this case, a Blu-ray rep, on my show. You know how to get in touch with me. Email me, major@xbox.com. We will set up a phone conversation that I will put up here unedited. So I am happy to have you on the show. Been looking for some Blu-ray podcasts. Haven't found any. But I got a lot of links to the show that I had last week, specifically around the HD DVD stuff. And, I think it's something on the order of like 300 or 400 links just to that show alone. So that just shows you how that's going in. So, put some links up to that. Let's see what else. You know what I need to do? I need to get Greg Canessa back on, because there was a little bit of a flare up in the community this weekend where he did an interview where he said that we were going to charge for Texas Hold'em, and that was the first time I had heard that, so I was quite surprised. So I tried to get him on the show for this week, and he was actually in New York and unable to do it, so I'm going to see if I can get him on following weeks, but it's going to be a little bit crazy. But I will get to the bottom of this, and so I owe you that. I owe the community an answer there. Let's see what else. Oh, we announced earnings this week, and for those of you who don't really care about things like that, it doesn't mean a damn thing to you. But for those of you that are into reviewing corporation earnings, I'll put some links up on the site for that. Shows you what we've been doing in terms of the earnings and how things are going. You know, people ask, well, what does that mean to the Xbox division? What does that mean to me as a game player? And that's kind of what I always. Always want to bring it back. But some of the things is there were actually really good Xbox 360 sales. And the most amazing thing is the company saw $2.3 billion in profit. I'm just reading this off little notes here, on revenue of $11.8 billion. Let's see what I have. We have an Xbox 360 notes in here. We shipped over 1.8 million Xbox 360 units during this quarter, bringing international install base to 5 million. So we're halfway to the 10 million that we've all talked about. And we have 60% of the people on Xbox 360 owners on Xbox Live, which is we have 3 million people on Xbox Live now. So I'll put some links up to that. There's a bunch of interesting stories around the earnings and whatnot. So games that shipped this week, NCAA. Have you guys been playing that? Looks like a lot of you are. I put the top 10 list up, and has it creeped into the top 10 yet? I don't think it has. I'll have to go take a look at that. So that shipped this week. Have you seen the secret achievements for that? So I'll put a link to the blog up on that. It's an interesting way of getting achievements that they've done there. So, you know, that's what I love about our developers. They're getting really creative with some of the achievements that they're doing out there. There's a viral achievement now for one of the games that they're working on where only a couple people are going to have it at the publishing house. And then as you play them online, you'll unlock it and so forth. So that's really cool. Cloning Clyde. Have you guys downloaded Cloning Clyde? That is just fun. That's just it's a good, strong platformer with a little bit of attitude. So I'm really happy that Cloning Clyde is doing well and it's doing quite well. And people are really excited about that. Of course, that's part of the Xbox 360 Summer of Arcade promotion that the marketing and PR team came up with. And it's going pretty well. Next week is Galaga. And then the week after that is Street Fighter. I know you guys are waiting for Street Fighter. So Summer of Arcade, hoo-hoo, woot. Interview this week. You know, I didn't talk about this at the top of the show. I usually lead off with this. But The show's probably going to be fairly, you know, it's not going to be the hour, and I think it was an hour and 20 minutes last week. And, you know, when I'm recording this now, I have no idea how long it's going to be. So that's why, you know, you can easily glance down at your computer or over at your portable device and say, oh, Major Nelson, well, it's only, you know, 55 minutes today. I don't know when I'm recording this. You know, I'm only 5.5 minutes in right now. So I don't really know if it's going to end up to be 50 minutes, 80 minutes, if all of a sudden I decide to start talking, go on a rampage. So I just have the sense it's going to be a fairly, fairly short show. I mean, I say short, I mean, you know, 45 minutes or something along those lines, which really isn't that short because I used to do shows that were only 20 minutes long, if you remember correctly. Way back in the day, as they say. So, yeah, so there you go. So let's let me play that interview for you that I did earlier this week with Scott. My guest today is Scott Selfon. Scott, you're an audio guy.
I am. A rare breed, apparently, but...
But you're an audio guy, but what's your official title is...
I'm the senior audio specialist in the Microsoft Game Technology Group.
So that means that you work with all of our publishing partners, and you make the Xbox 360 games hopefully sound great. Is that fair?
That's a pretty good way to boil down my title. Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the things I wanted to get you in here is because I'm an audio guy. You know, I do this show each week, and you said you listen to the show, and you're an audio guy just from a different side of the business, yep. As it were. Well, tell me about how some of the game developers use audio in a game. I mean, because that's one of the things everyone gets so hung up on, screenshots. You know, when they go to IGN or GameSpot and they see, oh, look at that screenshot. It looks great. But you never hear about the audio too much.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, a lot of times, even after the fact in the game review, they'll spend forever talking about the gameplay and how wonderful it looks, but the audio is relegated to, yeah, well, did you see they got that voice talent? They got that famous actor from Hollywood. And everyone I know who works on audio for games is just like, we spent all this time on, you know, an interactive score, and we spent all this time with, you know, non-repetitive sound effects, and that's not the things that they notice in the reviews. So,
that's one of the, and I always listen to audio. For instance, perfect example is I was playing Call of Duty 2 last night, which I think just has some of the most wonderful ambient audio. You know, they've got, it sounds like you're in a war, you know, you hear rat-a-tat-tat in the distance and up close, and I just think it's great. And those are some of the subtleties for me, you know, in addition to great gameplay, that really make an immersive environment.
Yeah, well, they did a fabulous job with the audio for that game, and most games on Xbox and Xbox 360 have really pushed the bar for audio compared to what you previously had.
On the original Xbox.
Yeah, even on the original Xbox. The fact that we have real-time Dolby Digital, so every game that's coming out of the Xbox 360 is in 5.1.
Right.
So a game doesn't necessarily have to take advantage of that. You know, arcade games, that might be overkill.
Right.
But for the games that you buy at the store, you're expecting a cinematic experience.
Sure, yeah, 5.1 all over the place.
Exactly.
So let's back up a little bit. Tell me about what is a day like for you? Where do you fit into the chain? I mean, you sit in the games group. They used to be called ATG. Now they're the games group.
Now it's GTG, yeah.
Yeah, so, and do you all of a sudden get a pre-release game or some code from a developer? Or tell me how you interact with some of the developers, without giving names, of course.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are a bunch of different ways that we help out game developers. So, for example, we can get builds of games while they're in progress.
Yep.
And I will, you know, take a look at it from an audio point of view and see where they are. Are their sounds fairly well balanced against each other? Or is the dialogue way louder than everything else, or way quieter?
Right.
I also try and focus on sort of the whole picture. You know, again, we talked about 5.1. Are the games taking advantage of 5.1, or is there not much really going on behind you in the surround speakers, for example?
Right.
From there, we move into things like interactivity.
Yeah.
So, you know, sound effects in a game, it's really kind of challenging because, you know, in a film, you know, the bad guy shoots his gun.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, you know, go to a sound effects library, or you can go out in the field and find someone who has that gun and record it and get it exactly right. And it sounds great in a film. You do that in a video game, you do that once, the player fires their gun, they're like, yeah, that sounded good. Yeah. But now they fire it 10 more times.
It gets repetitive.
Yeah. So you can't just play that exact same gunshot sound every single time. So you have to figure out ways to vary it. You know, the cheap ways are to vary the pitch and the volume.
Right.
Getting more sophisticated, you could have several different versions. You know, one, the muzzle flash is a little bit, you know, more aggressive.
Right.
Things like that.
Right.
But yeah, as a game composer and sound designer, you're really You have to deliver basically every possible experience, and it's a lot more than what a linear experience is that you'd find in, you know, like in a movie.
Right.
And conversely, you find that, I mean, in movies, they've had so much specialization over the last 100 years.
100 years, that's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, you've got, you know, you'll have 10 or 15 sound designers working on a film.
Right.
You'll have two or three composers and their orchestrators and copyists and a live orchestra. In games, and this is getting better, but over the last 20, 25 years in games, it's usually been one audio guy.
Right.
And they're not only the person who has to come up with the sound effects, a lot of times they have to be a programmer as well, so they have to have that technical background. So
right.
It's really been challenging. So that's one of the things that I try to help out with, just to get back to your question,
right.
Is making it as easy as possible for people who are the artists who can create sound effects and create music to be able to plug those into a game without having to become programmers and have to get into all the technical nitty-gritty as well.
So not only are you helping people with the soundless in the games, but you also get, I mean, you spend some time getting down into the weeds, as it were, into the console and make them optimize their sound and make it better, right? Is that
a
fair way?
Yeah, I mean, because, that's another of the big problems. I said that, you know, you have to have 10 different versions of that gunshot, for example,
right.
In order for it to be realistic. Well, now think of that you have to have 10, 15, 20 different versions of every single sound in the game, and it still has to fit onto a DVD.
Right.
So you have to figure out ways to, you know, different tricks to, you know, how you're going to compress your sounds so that they take up less space,
right.
Ways to manipulate the sounds in real time. So
mm-hmm.
Another great example is on the Xbox 360, we have a really nice reverberation that mm-hmm. a lot of games use. And that means that rather than just playing a WAV file, it actually will sit in the environment. So I could have the same gunshot, and if I shoot it in a cave, it'll echo around, and if I shoot it in a bathroom, it'll still echo around, but in a different way.
It'll sound like a bathroom, right.
I always go to the bathroom example for some reason. But, yeah, if I shoot it in a wide-open space, it'll play, you know, fairly dry. We won't actually hear much.
Right, because there's no reverberation.
Yeah, and so that sort of thing, being able to do that in real time is a huge advantage over previous generations, where you actually had to either just ignore reverb and say, all right, the gun's going to sound the same regardless of where I shoot it.
Whether I'm standing in the middle of a field or I'm standing in a bathroom.
Right. Or they would actually bake the reverb into the sound. So they'd
right.
have one version of the gunshot for the
right.
bathroom.
Here's
one
bathroom underscore wave.
Exactly.
Here's open field shot underscore
and
wave.
And that'd be one more thing that you're trying to fit on the disc, competing with graphics
right.
and textures and all these other elements. So it's always, you know, kind of a magic trick that you're trying to pull with audio to get the most out of the least resources.
So when you look back over the past few months since we've launched, what are some of the games that you look at and say, yeah, this is what I really like the audio. They did a really good job. We talked about Call of Duty. So tell me about some of the other ones that really stand out in your ear.
Yeah, Call of Duty was fabulous. I really enjoyed the musical score for Fable. Had a wonderful... wonderful immersiveness to it. Going to 360, I would say Cameo had an excellent score.
Yeah.
As far as you know, real-time sound effects integration into the game,
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, the overall sound design.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent Ghost Recon,
mm-hmm.
Advanced Warfighter, I think did a really great job with that. I mean, one of the nice things again is that we've seen almost all Xbox 360 games have had, you know, really great, detailed, you know, very accurate and immersive audio. And
right.
It's when you play it on a 5.1 system, it just really, you know, really pulls you into the game.
Yeah, that's the way I describe it. When I play a regular in the old school, and I play my regular consoles, and I play stereo, you know, and that was advanced at that point. But when you bring in 5.1, it's almost like going from black and white to color television. It's like going from black and white audio to color audio.
Yep, absolutely.
It's deep and it's clear and it's rich. It's really I mean, I love audio. You know that we talked about this. But that's what really excites me is when I hear a game that's got just really cool sounds. Like, for instance, you mentioned arcade games, Cloning Clyde.
Yep.
You know, there's chickens in that. There's all sorts of crazy sounds in that game.
Cloning
that's
Clyde
a different
has,
way
has
of looking
some,
at it.
It has some great comical sounds in it. Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, and for the hardcore gamer out there, 5.1 also gives you a tangible advantage over everyone else who's playing. You can hear that someone's coming up behind you versus
right.
when you're playing in stereo, everything is just
mixed.
It is mixed in front of you and you don't get that extra bit of spatialization.
Yeah, I know. Just getting back to Call of Duty, we were playing it last night and, you know, I was upstairs in a building and I could hear the people underneath me, you know, so it's really, you're right, it's very immersive.
Yep.
So do the publishers call you and just say, hey, listen to this, or where do they call you in? At what point do they call you into the process?
Well, usually I work more directly with the actual developers.
Okay.
So the people who are working
sure.
on the games.
Sure.
And sometimes they have independent sound designers, freelancers, who just, you know, come on board for this game.
Right.
And sometimes they actually have composers and sound designers who work in-house. So a lot of times I'll get, you know, it'll start off with questions from the composer or sound designer. They're getting ready to work on, hopefully it's the questions come when they're getting ready to work on the game rather than, you know, we're a week from shipping, help.
Help, yeah.
I get those too. And yeah. we can, you know, we do what we can to try and
sure.
to make sure that, you know, they focus on what's the most important given whatever time's left. But,
right.
but if we can get involved early, you know, getting them thinking about things like, how can you tie audio directly into gameplay? So, sure, I shoot my gun, it's going to make a noise.
Mm-hmm.
But how can I make audio more important? You know, how can I make it so that something like, if you think of the score from Splinter Cell,
mm-hmm.
Where it was the score that told you, you know, it's a stealth-based game.
Yeah.
The score told you whether you were being successful or not.
Right.
And, you know, it would kind of ramp up if a guard noticed that something was wrong, and it would come back down if
right.
if there was no one around, and it would go into a really action-packed sequence if you actually got into a shootout.
Yeah, people really take that kind of stuff for granted, but there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes to make that score, you know, get more dramatic.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, from a composer's point of view, it's a completely different way to write music than a film, which, you know, or any other linear media, right. which has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Right. Everybody sees it exactly that way, beginning, middle, and end.
Exactly, yeah. In a game, things can happen out of order. The timings can be completely different. Sometimes it takes me 20 minutes to finish a level. Sometimes it takes me an hour. Do
right.
I really want to listen to that same loop of music for an hour, or do I want to be able to say, all right, the player's having some trouble, let's bring the music down so that they
right.
can not become frustrated by the music.
Right. So, that's true.
It's just, it's a really, it's a whole different... paradigm for composing.
What's the what is, and you don't have to tell me the game because I want to, what is the craziest sound effect you've heard in a game?
The craziest, you mean like where it came
yeah,
from?
Yeah, where it came from and what it ended up being, because you know there's all sorts of ways to create sound. Just curious, have you ever...
You get all sorts of really interesting things. There was one game where they had some crazy monsters that they
right.
basically needed sound for, and again, things like monsters and aliens, there's you can't go out in the field and
right.
record a monster,
right?
So
usually
so they actually I'm trying to remember what they actually pulled together. They recorded some they got a microphone up close to some high-powered electrical transformers,
right?
Pitched that way down so that they had like this big menacing rumble.
They had the bass that yep. they were working with,
and then for like the drooling or the growling sounds, they actually got some, I'm trying to remember if it was not an animal that you would expect. It was like
right.
a donkey or
right.
some animal like that.
Right.
And again, they just manipulated and tweaked the sound.
Right.
And yeah, they just brought all of these elements together that you would never think would work, but it worked perfectly. And you're like, yeah, of course, that's exactly
that makes sense. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. There's, you know, what are you seeing, you know, for the next few months that you can tell us that you've heard? Maybe you don't want to give titles, but you've probably working on some cool projects right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really great immersive scores
yep.
coming soon, as well as immersive sound effects.
Right.
And it's really, every title takes their own approach, and you know, sometimes they're going for like documentary style. They're going for the, you know, the realism.
Right.
I think back to Call of Duty, for example, where they had the shell shock effect, where
right.
if a grenade fell right next to you,
yeah.
your ears would ring and everything would be muffled for a few seconds.
And you're visually, it was all kind of scrambled
right,
up.
Right. Exactly. And the audio really helped sell the fact that you're disoriented
right.
and you don't know what's going on.
Right.
And that's definitely one approach. And then going to the cloning Clyde is
right.
sort of the complete opposite. You know,
right.
we're going to go for cartoony.
Yeah, it was cartoony.
We're, you know, it's kind of like we're going to sort of hit every sound effect over the head and just have a lot of fun with it that way. So it's one of the great things about games. Even in the same genre, you can see two completely different takes, and both
right.
are valid.
So a lot of people that listen to my show are interested in getting into the games industry. How did you get where you are? Because a lot of people listen to this go, oh, that guy's got a great job.
I consider myself pretty lucky. I went to school down at USC
right.
in Los Angeles, and they were actually able to help me put together a major where I was actually able to do computer engineering, computer science, as well as music composition, film scoring.
Oh, wow.
So I figured I was just going to have the two majors, and the music would unfortunately have to fall by the wayside once I decided that I needed
to. So this is the perfect gig for
so,
you.
So, yeah, but that I was able to find a job doing what I do, I consider myself really lucky.
Wow.
But, yeah, I mean, there are people who come at audio for games from both angles.
Right.
There are people who have sound design experience. There are people who are only composers. I mean, again... The challenge with games is a lot of times it's one audio guy. So mm-hmm. if you have a composition background, you still have to learn right. how to do sound effects and, right. And vice versa.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of opportunities from the programming background as well. I mean, we talked about doing real-time reverberation, ways to use 5.1, things like that. There's a lot of really good opportunities there as well.
You know, I want to get back to the hardware for a second.
Sure.
So you worked on the original Xbox.
And the 360.
And the 360, you know, advising developers how to use audio. What was the biggest jump when people came from the original Xbox, which was arguably, you know, PC in a box, you know, it was like a little PC, to the 360, which is an enormously powerful machine. When you were sitting down, you know, what was it, probably 2 or 3 years ago when you started working on games, when you were showing some of the developers some of the cool stuff the 360 did, what was some of that stuff that was totally different?
Well, one of the things that was totally different was we got much better compression, and that's not something that your audience necessarily is going to find
right.
exciting, but for a game developer to be able to say, you can now have 5 times or 10 times more sounds
right.
and stick them on the game disc. That was really exciting.
That's cool.
And it's much higher quality. If you listen to an original Xbox game, it used a compression very similar to some of the competitive consoles at the time, which
right.
tends to be crackly, and
right.
it's got some hiss, and it just doesn't sound as crisp. So we were able to get a modified version of Windows Media Audio Professional
mm-hmm.
And put that into the box so that it actually is doing that sort of decoding in real time. So it's really high quality. It's mm-hmm. very, you know, perceptually it sounds very realistic.
Right.
From a gamer's point of view, I'd say one of the most exciting features that we got into the 360 was user soundtracks, user
okay.
music, the ability to listen to your own music either over the dashboard or while you're playing a game.
Right. That, I want to ask you about that because I've always wondered, and I've never asked publishers, what do they think of that? Because, I mean, I know the audience, the you know, Xbox, the standard people listening right now love that because they can go in. But, I mean, game developers spend a lot of money on their sound effects and scores.
Exactly. And that was one of their big concerns when they said, hey, you're, you know, they understood that gamers want to be able to listen to their music
right.
while they're playing their game.
Right.
But they're like, we've invested time and money into, yeah, we've got a great score. We've got great sound effects. We've, you know, gotten all of these, you
right.
know, voice actors that we want you to be able to hear. So on the original Xbox, some games supported user soundtracks, games, a lot of driving games
right.
in particular.
Because it made sense you're in the car, you're listening
right.
to the radio,
but
right?
But not so many other games.
Right.
And I think one of the top support calls, actually, to Xbox was, why doesn't Game X support user soundtracks?
Right.
So we said on 360, there's got to be a way for us to find a happy medium.
Right.
So we said, we're going to make it a feature of the box, mm-hmm. so that at any time, even when you're just over the... I mean, one of my favorite things to do over the dashboard is I'll just start a Photoshop slideshow
yep.
from stuff from my Windows Media PC
yep.
and start listening to some of my music and...
Just let it go.
And I just let it go. And
yep.
That's fine. It's a better screensaver than, you know, the paused
yeah.
TiVo screen. So.
Yeah, that's true.
So... But what we wanted to make sure for games was that it was going to be a good experience that they could actually tie into the game.
Right.
We didn't want people to do, and I've heard of a lot of people do this on PC games in particular, you've played the game for a couple hours, you're sick of the music, so what do? You want to listen to your own music, but you don't want the two to clash, so
mm-hmm.
you turn down the volume on your PC,
right.
and you lose all of the sound design.
It's just gone.
It's completely gone. You're just listening to your music. Game developers definitely don't want that.
Right. That's an extreme.
Exactly. So what we did for the 360 was we said, tell you what, you tag your background music. You know, what parts of your sound design are background music. When the user comes in and says they want to listen to their own music, we'll go ahead and automatically mute that for you.
Okay.
Everything else will continue to play. All of your sound effects, all of your dialogue.
Right.
So that you get the best of both worlds. You don't
so
end
it's
up
a
with,
nice mix.
Exactly. So you don't end up with the gamer turning down your music entirely. Sorry, turning down all of your sound entirely.
Right.
But yeah, there's definitely, it's been challenging because composers want their score to be heard. And
yeah.
in a lot of types of games, things like a Splinter Cell or a Dance Dance Revolution,
right.
the score is pretty important to what's
yeah,
going on
true.
Screen. So, for that particular, situation, you know, it's up to the user. The user wants to listen to their own music and it's going to make it, a more difficult experience like in Dance Dance Revolution, then then so be it.
Did you have to do any audio work on Dance Dance Revolution?
I did actually. I did not.
That's pretty straightforward.
It was. It's one of my. It's one of my favorite games. It's my wife's favorite game,
right.
Actually. So.
Oh, that's cool. So having user soundtracks was something that was different that developers needed to get their heads around for the 360 from the Xbox.
Exactly. The fact that it was going to be just built in.
And built in. So what are some of the other differences that from where a developer sits from last generation to this generation?
I would say, just having ubiquitous voice. The fact that, again, you can have
right.
voice chat in every single game.
So you're playing PGR3, and I'm playing Call of Duty 2, and
exactly.
we're doing two different things, but we're still talking.
We can still chat with each other. I can be stuck in one game, and you can still come along and help me out and things like that. That's just, for me, that's been really useful, because I tend to get stuck in games.
Right. Actually, I have to ask you right now, what's your gamer tag?
Oh, my gamer tag is Timme, with five M's.
So spell that.
It's TimmMmmmmay.
Timme. Okay.
Timme,
is there a story behind that?
It goes back to we used to play.
Is that a South Park reference?
It is a South Park reference, yeah. A bunch of us in what was then ATG and now is GTG used to go down to the lab and play games after work together, and that was the name that stuck for me. So
it makes the perfect gamer tag.
Exactly.
So you may get some people emailing you. I'm just giving you a heads up or sending you friends requests. So audio is something, like we said, that I'm really passionate about, and I'm so thrilled that we have you working on it, because there's a lot of people in the advance or the games technology group, I keep saying advance, in the games technology group that work on pieces of the games that people just take for granted, and audio is one of them.
Audio is definitely one of those catch-22 situations where if you do your job perfectly,
right,
it's not noticed at all.
Now, so, do you look at all the games?
I try and keep an eye on almost all the games that come through, particularly the games that specifically have technical issues or aesthetic concerns or that are, you know, high profile titles. But I try and keep an eye on every game.
How's Gears of War looking?
Gears of War is...
I haven't even seen it yet.
I haven't actually...
How's it sounding?
I haven't actually heard it yet. So.
Okay.
For example, one of the challenges that you and I have actually talked about briefly offline is things like consistency in audio levels.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that looking at as many games as possible is something that I've been, you know, really working with to try and make sure that when you play one game and you set up your speakers so that they're at a comfortable listening volume, when you put in the next game, you don't want to be blown away or you don't want to have to turn them up or turn them down.
Right.
So we've put a lot of time and effort into trying to, you know, find some consistency and communicate that to games so that, you know, everyone who's making games is sort of mixing them to the same level.
Yeah, there was one game that was out that had when you would score something, the voice would be really loud, and they fixed it in an auto update. I don't remember what that title was.
I'm glad to hear they were able to fix it.
Yeah, they fixed it, but it was just you're right. It's amazing the subtleties of the audio and how it's usually what I call it's like wallpaper. You know, it's there, and you're not really looking at it. But all of a sudden, if it's really ugly wallpaper, or if it's really obnoxious, it gets your attention.
Yep,
it gets your attention.
Audio plays a really key role in games. It's the only thing that gives you emotional cues.
Right.
You know, I've never heard someone say that they looked at a polygon and it made them cry.
Right.
But music, it can have that effect on you. So it's really up to the audio, not only to sell the visuals, not only to tell you what's going on outside of that reduced, you know, field of vision that you have. You're only seeing right in front of you.
Right.
And it's up to audio to tell you what's going on outside of that space. But it's also up to audio to, sort of give you rewards for the game. I think back to Halo and Halo 2, where they had this really advanced dialogue system so that they basically had a trigger that if you had some Marines around you and one of them accidentally shot another Marine, they had like 20 or 30 lines of dialogue.
Just for that.
Per character. And there were, you know, six or seven different characters that could be with you at any given time.
Right.
And there were certain variations that were, you would hear them one out of every 10,000 times. Marty O'Donnell, who is the composer for Bungie for Halo and Halo 2, did this talk at GDC a couple years ago where he...
At the Game Developers Conference,
sorry.
Right.
Yes,
okay.
Where he asked a packed room, it was probably 200 or 300 people, how many had heard a certain line of really silly dialogue that appears very infrequently.
Randomly,
in the game.
Yeah.
And I think two people out of the entire room had heard it.
Right.
So to have that sort of rich audio experience, but also it's completely different for everyone who's playing it. You're not just getting the exact same sound effect again and again. So just having that, you know, having that level of immersion and getting a little treat every once in a while.
Right.
You know, like I would get killed by a grunt, and every once in a while the grunt would taunt you for not being a good player. And right. It was just, you just didn't expect it. And it's just, it adds that much more fun to the game.
That's one of the audio 360 games that I enjoyed the most recently, which I've talked about ad nauseum, and my listeners will hate me for this, is The Outfit.
Mm-hmm.
The Outfit, when you got in and out of the vehicles in The Outfit, there was just some funny dialogue. I mean, I talked to the guys from there, and that's the kind of stuff, you're right, that really resonates with some gamers and people remember.
Absolutely.
It really creates a connection.
And, it gives you a little extra treat. You know, it's something that you're going to be doing a lot. You're going to be getting in and out of vehicles. You're going to be, you know, shooting lots of bad guys.
Right.
Or, you know, I try not to go for the violent examples,
right.
But that's one.
Right.
But the things that are going to happen again and again, you know, the types of games where you walk up to a character and you press A to talk to them and they say the same thing every single time that you approach them, that's a lost opportunity. That's, you know, that's something where you could have, you know, they could say, you know, quit bothering me after
right.
a while if you do that, or, you know, just little things like that.
Right.
And it's just, you just want to, you know, it's a video game. You want it to be fun. So.
Is there, do you do anything with the games regarding, you know, the localization or the international ism of it all? You know, there's games that are released in different countries that have different types of dialogue. Are there any other concerns around that, or I'm just curious if
there's definitely some challenges. I mean, there's, from the logistical end, you know, the fact that the amount of dialogue is going to change based on the language.
I
think they say for German you need to, you know, anticipate that the dialogue is going to be 1.5 to 2 times longer, just because it takes more time to actually say
in German
equivalent things in German. Other languages are very similar.
Right.
And there are a lot of things that don't even translate very well. You know, you may have something that's very English idiomatic, and you try and take that game to Japan.
Like, hey, dude.
Yeah, exactly. How is that going to translate?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, and again, a lot of times it's the composer, the sound designer, who's writing this script, and it's basically a script just like a film script.
Right.
And, yeah, they need to get that entire script localized into all the different languages, and then they, a lot of times, will record voice talent, so the actual actors, in their native lands.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll actually record them and then, you know, bring those back into the game. But, yeah, there are a lot of great examples. There's an entire website of sort of bloopers of things that didn't translate very well, and I can actually
send that over to me. And
give you the link.
I'll put that up on the show links.
But it's thinking of different languages, thinking of, well, if we go back and we have to deal with the same sound effects for a sequel,
right?
You know, then it's, you know, there's all this data management that you have to do. Now I have to back up all of my stuff, so. Not only does everyone else have to back up frequently, but audio designers in particular have to make sure that they have all of their assets available at all times.
Yeah, I was over about a month and a half ago, I was over talking to the Forza guys, and they were just telling me about some of the sound effects and how they're grabbing them from different cars, and that's a whole other thing.
Because,
you know, you talked about, no one knows what the alien sounds like, so you can make it up, but you know what that Lamborghini sounds like, or at least the people that own one.
Yep.
Yeah, so that becomes even more challenging.
And it's fabulous seeing the amount of detail that goes into car sounds. And
right.
You'll still see people post and say, I've got that car and it doesn't sound like that.
Right.
And the people, you know, at that point you have to throw up your arms. You're like, we went out, you know, we found the three cars that exist in the world of this particular variety. You know, we stuck it on a dynamometer, which is a device that they use to actually rotate the wheels and, you know,
make it drive in place.
And they record it and they do all sorts of detailed analysis. You get a game like Project Gotham Racing 3, where they actually did real-time filtering so that if you're inside the car, the exhaust is actually really muffled, and it's actually playing back the way that it would sound when you're inside
in the car. Yeah.
And as you rotate around the car, you would hear it.
So when you go from a third-person view to a first-person
right.
view.
And as you swing the camera around the car, even, you get...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So it's directional.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
oh,
definitely.
Wow.
Yeah, and in fact, in PGR3, if you're just you know, watching a replay of the race in camera mode, you get all sorts of these great little detail elements as the car moves further away. Sort of the foreground elements transition into these background elements. And they actually went to a racetrack to get some, you know, examples of how cars sound when they get further away versus closer. And there's all these extra, you know, echoes and flanges that start to come into play. And they simulated all those in real time in that game. So.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot. I just, you know, a lot. Like I say, a lot of people never realize the subtleties that have to happen because we're always used to watching these wonderfully produced movies, and it just has to happen. And they, again, just to get back to where we started, people get so hung up on the polygon count and how this looks and that looks. And
but yeah, audio's got to be there to sell it.
Have you ever seen a game where audio has saved the game? Where you're like, you know, this game doesn't look really good, but man, the audio kicks ass.
I've been involved with projects where I was asked to actually save the game with the audio. So
that's true.
I've been in that scenario. I don't know how well of a job, how good of a job I actually
you
did
what
in
you
those
could
scenarios.
Do. We won't mention
you do
titles.
What you can do, but I mean, there are games that don't look particularly good, but the audio really, you know, is
it
enough
carries
to,
it.
To carry it. Yeah, and it definitely does happen. There are games that don't look so pretty. I mean, even if you think back to classic arcade games, there wasn't a whole lot going on the screen. Exactly, but I mean, it was so minimalist. But they got sound effects. You're like, of course, that's what Pac-Man sounds like when he eats, you know, a power pellet. You know,
right.
That's you couldn't think of him sounding any other way. So it's.
Yeah, these certain sounds do get ingrained in your subconscious.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the way Pac-Man sounds, or that's the way Battlezone sounds when the saucer comes across the horizon and things
yeah,
like
that. It doesn't hurt that we played these games for hours on end.
Right.
And so we heard the same one or two sound effects again.
A billion times.
Yeah.
Scott Sullivan, I appreciate you coming down and spending a little bit of time with me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Can you come on again sometime in the future? We'll talk more about audio?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Great, thanks a lot.
Thanks. I love audio. One of the things I really do is, you know, it's one of the reasons I do this show is I love audio, and this is all audio. I tried to get Scott to give me some audio pieces that I could play during the show, but he really didn't have anything that was making sense. So we decided not to do that. We just decided to do the conversation. But next time you throw in a game, listen to the audio. Spend a little bit of time just listening to what some of the sound designers and audio guys have done. You know, I'm a big fan of Marty over at Bungie. He does a fantastic job with the Halo series. And as I was talking about Call of Duty, I think they just did a wonderful job with just the environmental sounds and so forth. So you know, give the audio guys a little nod. Spend a little time listening to the audio. And what's your favorite game? You know, I'd love to hear, you know, in the go up to my blog and post in the comments section of this show. What is the game with your favorite audio that you really like? Is it something crazy? Is it goofy? Is it just make you feel like you're there? Just wondering. Love audio. Okay, so here's some of the travel schedule. It's that time of the year when the travel gets a little crazy. I'm going to be going to the Leipzig Game Show. For those of you that attended the show last year, it's pretty outrageous. Of course, last year we announced the two SKUs. It seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? I mean, the core system and the Xbox 360. That was last year at Leipzig. It was wonderful. I met so many great community people at Leipzig. It was just phenomenal. And the German PR team has asked me to come over and maybe host a community evening. So if you're going to the Leipzig Game Show, which is at the end of August, please let me know. Of course, the challenge there is the Leipzig Game Show is, I don't have the dates off the top of my head. It's like the 20th or something in the order, but I literally have to come back, fly all day, and then go immediately to the Penny Arcade Expo, which I'll be on a couple panels there. So the good news is that when I'm at the, when I'm doing the panels at the Penny Arcade Expo, I talked to Gabe and Tycho. They're going to let me actually record the panels that I'm on and make them into podcasts. So that's kind of cool, isn't it? Right? So you'll be able to, even though if you're not there, you can hear them. So I'll put them up, you know, that day or a couple days later, you'll be able to hear that. Later this week, I'll be going to Orlando to Tiburon Studios for EA. They're having a community day down there. So, Video Monkey is the guy that shoots all the videos for Xbox.com that works with me. He and I are going to be going down to Orlando to spend some time the community day and to meet some of the community leaders that I don't know how EA chooses them, but I'll be meeting some of those guys and doing some interviews down there. Of course, we'll get to play the game. I'll get to play some of Madden. Apparently, there's a lot of really cool new things in Madden. So we'll have all that up on Xbox.com. I may be able to bang out a show at that point. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be doing a show next Sunday. I have to be perfectly honest with you. It's just in the spirit of openness and honesty, that is the 30th of July. And I'm actually going to take a day or two off and go spend some time with some family down there in Florida that lives down there. So I don't know if I'll be able to get around to do a show on Sunday because I'm supposed to be on an airplane traveling back. So I'll post. I'll let you know. And, of course, if I can do one, I will. So that's the deal. Also, Microsoft Game Fest is coming up. Microsoft Game Fest is it's a neat event if you're in the gaming industry. And it's very technical. It is a it is an event that we sponsor, that Microsoft puts on, specifically the game area, the both the Xbox and the games for Windows. So basically the people that should attend are game programmers, producers, technical directors, testers, business development, publishers, audio, of course, just talked about audio, technical artists, and so forth. So that is going to be that's August 13th through the 15th here in Seattle. So I'll put a link up on the blog if you're interested in going. And I was incorrect. I was under the impression it was invite only. It's actually, it is open to the public. You can register. But I asked Dave, for those of you who know Dave, I had him on a couple weeks ago from letskilldave.com. Dave is the community manager for the publisher side of things. And I asked Dave, I said, Dave, would people, regular people who aren't in the industry, would they be interested in going? And let me open up his email because his response was pretty funny. He says, feel free to talk about it, but gamers will be disappointed. It's about, and he puts in big, bold letters, game development. He says, if you don't know what an affine transformation is, you're probably better off not showing up. So if that's really what it's for, it's for game developers. So if you're interested in seeing next-gen games, this is not E3. It's for game developers. They're going to talk about really intense technical stuff and how it works on, but probably this year is going to be a lot of Windows Vista stuff, because Windows Vista comes out. Is it coming out yet? God knows. It's coming out next year. So if you're interested, MicrosoftGameFest.com, we'll put the link up on the blog. But if you're not, if you just want to go and take a look at, the next big Xbox game or the next PPC game, this isn't the place for you. So move along. Nothing to see here. All right. There's also an interesting article over at GameDaily.com about why, just shifting gears here for a second, why game journalism sucks. And I'll put a link to that on the blog. And I thought it was actually fairly well written article. So you should go up and take a look at that. Let's go over and take a look at what the marketplace stuff that went up this week, because a lot of cool stuff went up. There was a Wild Boys videos and gamer pictures that went up. And this is those are just for the Netherlands and Belgium. And both the picture pack and the videos were premium content. I think it's the first time we've done premium content. I actually had to like quadruple check when I got the email that said that this content was up. I said, people are buying videos? Okay. Cloning Clyde, of course, went up on Wednesday as part of Xbox Live Arcade Wednesday. Lord of the Rings Battle for Middle-earth 2 trailer went up. A trailer for Bullet Witch went up. An NCAA 07 Inside Look trailer for GTTV went up. Also on Monday, the Halo 3 In the Beginning video is now available in all regions. So if you haven't downloaded that and you're not in some of the major regions when it was originally released, you might want to go check that out. There's a trailer for Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter Chapter 2, which is the downloadable content that was available a while ago. A trailer is up for Medal of Honor Airborne, and it's only a 480p trailer. I don't know what happened to the 720p trailer, but it looks pretty good. It actually looks a lot of fun. So I would go check that. Of course, I don't know what's coming up this week. I do know that it is Xbox Live Arcade Wednesday. What have I mentioned, like three times already? Major, shut up. We know. So, of course, that means Galaga's coming out on Wednesday. I'll move past that. All right, let's swing into Name the Game. It's, 44 minutes in, and we're gonna play Name the Game, because that's the way I'm going to do it. Because, frankly, in my studio, I don't have air conditioning, and it's really, really hot where I'm recording this. So I apologize. I'm trying to get through this, but it's pretty damn warm where I am, so... All right, let me play. This is the Name the Game sound clip from last week. I was actually surprised how many people got that, because I thought it was pretty hard. That, of course, was Wick Fable of Souls. Wick Fable of Souls. Lots of people wrote in. I only have one winner, and because I randomly draw one. I'll explain the rules in just a minute. My winner is, his gamer tag is Hunter11, or HunterXI, or HunterX1. Hunter11, I will dub V, Hunter11. Hunter11, congratulations, you grabbed yourself a Plantronics Major Nelson headset, plus a very cool Air Force X2 from Turtle Beach headset. This is the headset that allows you to hear both game audio and Xbox Live audio, meaning your friends that are talking to your teammates in your headset. So, excellent. Well done. Congratulations. Congratulations, Hunter11. And that clears the path for this week's Name the Game. So, obviously, I was stunned at how many people got last week's, so I decided to make this week's even harder. Here it is. Yeah, that was it. Just that little piece. Here, let me play it for you one more time. That's it. If you think you know what that is, very simple. First of all, let me run over the rules real quickly. I take an audio clip from an Xbox, a released Xbox or an Xbox 360 game. I do not use game demo trailers, audio. I don't use any of the demos on Marketplace. The game has got to be released. Now, I will say it. Maybe it's released elsewhere in the world, but it has to be released. Secondly, what you need to do to enter is send me an email. Major@xbox.com is my email address. And then, of course, in the subject line, please put name the game, colon, and then your guess. You get one guess per person. Please include your gamer tag as well as where you're from, just so I can kind of keep track of where people are listening to. You email that to me. I take all the correct answers each week. And then I pull out one winner, and one winner wins, let's see, next week they'll win a Plantronics Major Nelson headset, as well as the Turtle Beach Air Force X2 wireless Xbox headphones. So that's to keep in mind there. So those are the rules. That's how it works. A lot of people have asked me, is this open to me? I live in insert country here. Yes, it's open to anybody, basically any Xbox regions in the world, or even non-Xbox regions in the world. I'll ship anywhere. As long as you can accept mail, that's all I really care about. So congratulations to Hunter 11 for last week's Name the Game. Good luck getting this week's. All right, forging ahead, it's time for the Geeky and Gadgets section of the show. And the big news this week was one word, Zune. Zune. Zune broke, the news about Zune broke. Zune is a project that the team at Microsoft has been working on. It is a audio player, and that's all I really know. My team is not working on it. I did make a comment on my blog that some of the people on my team have mysteriously disappeared, and that is true. They've gone and been reassigned elsewhere on campus to work on this Zune project, and that's all I know. Haven't really seen anything other than what you guys have seen on Engadget. There's a couple of blogs up, people talking about it. There's a PR blog up, of course. So I just don't know anything about it. You know, is it going to be the iPod killer? Don't know. All I know is they better have podcasting support or I'm going to be pissed. Yeah, that's what I want. I want podcasting support, people. So Zune team, if you're listening, talk to me. Tell me what's going on. Also, what's the deal with ComingZune.com? So if you go over to ComingZune.com, they're collecting email addresses. Come on, guys. Where's the RSS feed? Where is it? Hello? Everybody has RSS feed. I mean, you're okay to collect names, but you got to have an RSS feed, right? Jeez, everybody has an RSS feed, for God's sakes. Anyway, I'm going to wrap up the show now because it's now reached about 101, let me look at the thermometer. No, 97 degrees here in my studio. So I have sitting here and I am sweating like crazy. Time to get this show out for you guys, and I'm going to wrap it up now. So thank you. Thank you for downloading the show. Also, don't forget, if you need any secured and assured hosting, please check out my good friends at CentureCom for all your web serving needs. I know I did, and they're good for me. So thank you for listening this week. Don't know if there's going to be a show next week. It depends on what my travel plans are like, but August and September are going to be huge. I talked about going to Leipzig. After that, we have, I'll go to PAX, which is local, so that really doesn't qualify as traveling. After that, I have the Tokyo Game Show. There's XO6, which is an invite-only event that the Xbox team does to show off the new games for the holiday. Don't know where that is yet, or do I? Have I seen that? No, I haven't seen that. Last year's was in Amsterdam. Boy, that was a great town, Amsterdam. Wow. So there's a lot of traveling coming up for the next 2 months, which means I'll be filing various shows. And they may not be as cool and as clean as this one in terms of, you know, the regular shows where I have my show open and I talk and I do Name the Game and I do all the features and stuff. I may just take this audio and just slap it up like I did last week. I did that with the audio that I grabbed at the launch party down in San Francisco. And a lot of people seem to like that. I was actually pleasantly surprised that a lot of people really like that. So, although I must explain, people have asked what happened to show number 182, because last week's was 183. This is show number 184. Basically, anytime I put a piece of audio up, I just that is sequentially the name. So the Summer of Arcade Kickoff Party, that was show number 182. Last week was show 183. This is show number 184. If I put any audio up, so for anybody who asked that question out on the blog, you can feel free to answer that for them. I'm also I talked about this. This is more in the gadget section. I talked about you know, I have a lot of listeners I know that listen with the iPod, and I'm thinking of doing an enhanced podcast for the iPod. You know, where I put pictures, and I already do URLs for those of you that download the WMA version. And if you go up to my blog, you can click on the WMA version, and there's a little link that shows you how to do the enhanced podcast. And what that is, as you're listening to the show in Windows Media Player, it will open up URLs in the background. This even works on the Mac if you download the Mac version. There's just, you have to make sure you check off a little box, which is run scripts, because that's really what it's doing, is it's picking up the URLs and popping up, open the websites I talked about. So instead of having to go to the blog and look at the link dump and click on this, you can just listen to the show and open it up. Of course, it only works on your desktop. But I'm thinking of doing some shows, enhanced podcasts, but does anybody know, is there a good way to produce WMA versions in the Apple, in the Mac? I don't know. I have to find that out. Definitely, I want to get a MacBook next month. I'm hearing rumors that they're going to be coming out with new ones, so I'm going to wait another month or so until I make the purchase. So, anyway, all right, enough about me and my needs. You don't want to hear that. I know you don't want to hear that. So, time for me to sign off. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. Thank you for downloading my show. I'm going to say it once. I say it all the time. Have fun. Play fair. Make sure you send feedback on Xbox Live, and I will talk to you next time. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye. All right, it is hot in here. I mean, you have no idea how hot it is in here with all this equipment going. Hey, I want to make sure you guys know I brought alerts back on my site. So if you have MSN Messenger, you can go over to my site and sign up for alerts. And anytime I make a post, it will automatically pop up in the lower right-hand corner as a toast. That's what we call it internally at Microsoft, a toast. You know, kind of when your friends log on, you see a little thing pop up in the right-hand corner. So you can sign up for alerts over at the blog. I'll put the link up on the show. And you should be aware of that. Also, I can't remember if I mentioned this last week, but we brought the Xbox tab back, or the in Messenger. If you click on the Xbox tab, it was always there, but we brought the friends list back, so you can actually scroll down and you can see that you can see who's online and who's doing what right now. So make sure you check that out. Some other interesting stuff. I was talking about my MacBook and all the other cool stuff there in the main show. But is anybody? Is anybody hearing anything about the new Apple? Let me know. Email me, major@xbox.com. Also, great, well, I don't want to say great article, but it's an interesting post over at Kotaku that I saw. And it was why the PSP is dead. And I don't have a PSP. I use my DS, as you guys know. But it's an interesting article, or actually links off to an article over at the Game World Network. But and some of the bullet points is, it's too expensive to develop games for the PSP, load time is slow, no good games, UMD is dead as disco, and it's pricey. So I'm going to just, in this conversation, I'm not going to say it, but the first thing I did was I took out PSP and I put in PS3. If you put PS3 into all of these bullet points, think about it. That's all I'm going to say. I'll put a link to that up on the blog, so think about that. Oh, I forgot to tell you. All right, I didn't mention this in the main show, so this is reserved for you, the fan who likes to listen to the show afterwards. I've been playing Dead Rising. And that is one crazy game. It is just, there's one scene that we were playing at the office where you get to, you know what, I don't even want to say because I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but I got to say, the game's fun. I got access to a build. I don't have it here at home. I don't have it. I only have it at work where I can only play it on this one machine. And I was playing a little bit of it, and it's a lot of fun. And this is, as I've said this before, this is a game where I know I'm going to spend a lot of time with this, so I don't want to play any more of it because I want to play it when it comes out. So I will say this, it's sure fun taking some shears and chopping up zombies and so forth. Or, you know, taking your axe, and I use that term metaphorically, you know, for those of you in music, you got your guitar, you call it an axe. Taking your guitar and whacking out zombies. So fun. Dead Rising, I can't wait for that. That's out next month. All right, wrapping it up because I am now covered in sweat. It's starting to drip onto the keyboard, and this is no longer fun. So I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.